to take you into the new year than DK and Alex? Well, I can think of a few people, but that's who you're stuck with as we gear up for another punt. The games come thick and fast at this time of year, and the guys have picked four games to take a closer look at shortly. The Football League guys return with their best bets in the lower leagues, and Number Crunchers is back to give you the lowdown on the 3 o'clock kickoffs. DK, Alex, we begin this round of matches with the game at Turf Moor.
We do indeed, Emma. The first game of the new year comes from Turf Moor, and it's Burnley versus Aston Villa. Welcome along.
Thanks. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Good to have you here.
I'm tired. There's so much football on. It's just been Christmas and football and everything.
Boxing Day was brilliant, wasn't it?
No, because Newcastle got battered, but until then it was quite nice. No, I mean, it's just been a game every day, and it's been really, really nice because you've been able to go, what are we going to watch today then?
More football.
And we've got even more to look forward to New Year's Day, because of course every game televised on BT this time around.
Yep.
So there's no excuse really not to watch more football. And we've got the FA Cup coming up after this as well, so it doesn't stop.
Let's get stuck into it. Burnley versus Aston Villa. Burnley, odds on. That made me sit up and take notice. 4-5 they are to win this game against Villa, who are 17-5. The draw's available at 11-4, it's all gone wrong for Aston Villa, defensively in particular. They've only picked up 4 points away from home all season long, and they come into this having been walloped by Watford at Vicarage Road 3-0 in their last Premier League game. What's happening with Villa? Why is it going so pear-shaped?
Well, I think if you actually looked at them and didn't look at the table and just sort of what your perception of them would be, you'd go, yeah, they're probably lower mid-table. Mm. But they're not. They are struggling. And if you look at the teams down there, Norwich are showing bits every now and again, but I don't think they'll stay up. Watford have got half a chance, just given the fact they've got the new manager bounce, which we were waiting to happen when they got rid of manager number one this season.
They didn't bring a new manager in. They
brought in manager number one from last season. So it is... it's not looking great for Villa at the minute, but they've got time to turn it round. They may spend a bit of money in January if they can. They've got a big squad, though. That's the thing. They may have to sell before they can bring players in. That is a problem with a few clubs. You've only got 25 men in your squad, and you have to shift a bit of it before you can bring another one in. They just don't convince at the minute, Aston Villa, and I'm not sure why, really, because in Jack Grealish, they have one of the best playmakers in the league, I'd say. I certainly think he would fit into most squads, even those, you know, at the top of the table. I don't think many teams would turn down the opportunity to have him in their squad. Mm. But it's just not quite happening. Wesley's not scoring goals up front. Codger's not been given much of a chance so far. It just isn't working. And with Tyrone Mings out at the minute as well, Villa haven't, or while he has been out, Villa have looked shaky at the back. Now, you said Burnley are odds on here. On the face of it, that does seem a little stingy.
Yep.
But you can, again, see why. But Burnley never, never batter aside. Never. So it's always risky, I think, backing them at that kind of price. I love backing Burnley when they're at home, when they're 6-4, 7-4, 2-1. When they're this kind of price, you're not so sure. Because can you see them scoring twice in the game, which they may have to do to win? That does make it more difficult, doesn't it?
There's a bet that I love here. I'm going Burnley to win this game to nil. When Burnley concede, they rarely win. But I think with Villa's run of recent form, they will be going to Turf Moor lacking in confidence. I'm going Burnley to win without conceding.
Have you been reading my notes?
Oh, is that what you fancy as well?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, basically, if Villa score, I don't think Burnley will win. I don't think Burnley have it in them to score loads of goals. When Burnley win at home, they win to nil. Last seven home wins have been to nil. They don't win at home particularly regularly. That's stretching back into last season as well. But at home, when Burnley win, they win to nil. Let's take them and do it again.
If you're hoping to start 2020 with a winning acca, remember to use your bet boost and you'll get an even bigger payout. Make sure you're logged in, put your picks in your bet slip. If there are three or more, you'll be able to tap the boost button and watch the odds get bigger. Best of luck.
I think one of the more intriguing fixtures in this set of fixtures is Manchester City versus Everton at the Etihad. And Manchester City, very short price here, 27-100. The draw is 5-1. Everton, 2-2 under Carlo Ancelotti, available at 9-1 to win this game, which will appeal to some because City I've got to worry about motivation for Manchester City for the rest of the season. They're 14 points going into this weekend, or this round of fixtures. Yeah. Not the weekend, is it? What day is it? Going into this match, they're 14 points behind Liverpool. Liverpool have that game in hand as well. Mm. City, once the Champions League rolls around, I think he's going to make loads of changes to his Premier League lineup. And Everton, we've got to recalculate with Everton, haven't we? Because throughout this season, we've been slagging them off on this show. Mm. And now they look like they could be a different animal under Ancelotti.
Well, firstly, I'll say that with all of the televised games, we had to choose which games we wanted to talk about,
yes.
Really. We steered clear of the 3 o'clock games, but the rest of them were sort of fair game, and we chose one from each time slot. This was a very appealing one from a betting point of view. So we could have looked elsewhere, but I'm glad that we are talking about this game. Now, you mentioned Everton. You said that we've been slagging them off. I haven't been slagging them off. But price-wise, yeah, they are appalling, and they have been all season. I backed Newcastle to beat Everton the other day.
I know you did. You tweeted it.
And I was disappointed, really. But I don't think even the fact that Everton won, I didn't think they were a good bet. They were nearly even money away from home, having, before that game, won once away all season, and Newcastle had only lost once at home all season. Now, Everton have now won twice away this season. Does that make me want to back them here? Probably not. Does Carlo Ancelotti make me want to back Everton? Well, no, but I'm more leaning that way because of him than anything else.
Yeah, and the big thing we've seen with Ancelotti is they've been much more productive going forward. There were 42 shots in that game against Newcastle. Yeah. Everton had 22 of them. I mean, they conceded 20 shots to Newcastle as well, which might give you pause for thought and a little bit of cause for concern for Everton. One man that's really impressed me, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, scored twice against Newcastle, got a goal in the game before that as well. And it was interesting that Ancelotti said that when he was at Napoli, he tried to sign Dominic Calvert-Lewin, which augurs well for his future, leading the line for Everton. And he's 7-4 to score any time. I wanted something maybe slightly bigger on Calvert-Lewin to score in the game. But if you fancy taking a chance on him to score first in this game and shock the citizens, 7-1 he is to score first. I'd be, for the next few weeks anyway, I'd be looking to formulate bets around Calvert-Lewin.
Well, unbelievably, Dave Kellner captained Dominic Calvert-Lewin on fantasy football.
And nice.
I couldn't believe that when I saw it. I was like, that is left field. But it worked for you. And I think he is one heck of a player. Now, I was actually having a chat out in the office while the Newcastle Everton game was going on about Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah.
And the general consensus was he's no good. I like him.
I think he's good.
I think he works hard and he's got a bit of quality about him as well. Mm. I think he is a very, very good lone striker. And there aren't many of them around at the minute. So, no, I've got a lot of time for him. And I've got more time for Everton now than I have done at any other stage this season. Still 100% record under Ancelotti, without being wildly impressive in either of the games, augurs well for their future. City, though, at home are pretty hard to beat. Wolves went there and won. Man United went there and won. Can I see Everton going there and winning? I would be surprised, I have to say. But I have been impressed with what I've seen from Everton so far, and I'm sure that from here until the end of the season, they'll be going up the table rather than down.
Yeah, one stat that I love regarding Ancelotti is 78 matches, Premier League matches in charge of a club, 50 wins. That's unbelievable, that, isn't it?
Yeah, but it does help when you're in charge of what was the best team at the time.
That's true, that's true. Still a decent stat, though,
isn't it? It's not bad. That strike rate may go down for all that Everton may go up, but Everton have got a decent squad. They need little additions here and there. They may get them in January, who knows? But there's the makings of a decent team there.
Bets in this one, then. I don't fancy City at the price, even though I think they might win the game. I'll go with City to win and both teams to score, and I'm having a look at Calvert-Lewin and those goal-scorer markets as well.
City and both teams to score just seems the logical pick, really. Everton, in their last three meetings at the Etihad, have gone there and scored. They've not got a dreadful record there, compared to some teams, anyway, at the Etihad. And Man City at home, well, Man City full stop defensively, are just a little bit off at the minute. So you'll be looking at Man City and both teams to score. You've got Man City at home with both teams scoring, which happens a ridiculous amount of times in all competitions.
Yep.
And Everton's last six away games, both teams have scored anyway. So everything points to both teams scoring, but you would imagine City will win. So City and both teams to score for a little bit of value, not a bad price.
Very good. Thank you, Alex. As everyone knows, this show is in association with the Football Writers Association. We're coming towards the end of a decade. Who's your player of the decade? Premier League player of the decade?
It's difficult because there's not been anyone who, over the whole decade, has been completely dominant. There's one who I think has been overlooked. I don't think has actually been put up by any of the FWA guys.
Yeah.
David Silva.
Okay.
Just for longevity, quality. But there's a fair few candidates, as we're about to hear, aren't there?
Absolutely. Let's hear from our guys at the FWA.
Really, any player of the decade has probably got to come from Manchester City, considering the number of trophies they've won over the past 10 years. And I don't think anyone has been more instrumental in their success than Sergio Aguero. His statistics really are astonishing. I think it's something like 244 goals in 355 appearances. I just know for a fact that he scores goals every single season he's there, including, of course, probably the most dramatic goal in Premier League history. Also for his country, I think his record there is probably about 1 in 241, I think, and 90-odd international appearances. And they've missed him when he's been injured this season. I think David Silva had a shout. I think Vincent Kompany obviously has to have a shout. But I think overall, for his contribution to Manchester City's success, Sergio Aguero, my player of the decade.
My nomination is for a player whose absence this season has been felt as keenly as his impact on the past decade. Vincent Kompany joined Manchester City in the summer of 2008. They finished ninth in their previous season. He led them to 4 Premier League titles, 2 FA Cup wins, 4 League Cup titles and 2 Community Shields, ending his career at Manchester City with an unprecedented clean sweep of domestic titles. One of the greatest centre-backs of his generation, he rose to the big occasion, scoring that goal with the iconic celebration in the Manchester Derby in 2012. But for me, the one moment that will live long in the memory is his long-range effort against Leicester. He'd been so cruelly riddled with injury, and to remain at the peak of his powers reminds me of the character of the man, especially with Aguero shouting, "No shoot, no Vinny." He not only did it for club, he did it for country. Belgium was 62nd in the FIFA rankings when he took over as captain. Of course, Belgium went on their most successful run in history, winning the bronze medal, the World Cup in Russia, to make them the most successful men's team in the history of Belgian football. And he ended his career in the Premier League by winning the match of the day, goal of the season. Take a bow, Vinny.
My nomination and my choice would be Sergio Aguero. I like a goal scorer. Harry Kane obviously in contention there with the number of goals he scored, but Aguero beats him. 173 goals in 253 games as we speak. 4 winners' medals in the Premier League and a League Cup and FA Cup winners' medals as well. And who can forget that moment when he scored the stoppage time winner against QPR? That dramatic day, that Aguero moment. It brought City their first title in nearly 50 years, and for that alone, he's a hero in the blue half of Manchester alone. He's been a great player, never honoured individually, interestingly, by either the Football Writers Association or the PFA, and may not be this year either with Liverpool's dominance, but he's been a great, great player. He's clearly the leading scorer of the last decade in the Premier League, and I would like to say Sergio Aguero is my choice.
My player of the decade would be Vincent Kompany, the inspirational captain of Manchester City, was there at the beginning of the hugely successful Abu Dhabi era, and then has been their inspiration. And I think they've really missed him this season in terms of his leadership qualities and everything that he brought to the club in terms of his character, his personality, his drive. And I'll also remember that incredible goal. In fact, 2 goals. The header against Manchester United at the Etihad, which clinched the title under Mancini. And then the fantastic goal that he scored against Leicester. He'll never score another goal like that. And that won the title for Manchester City. So my player of the decade, Vincent Kompany.
Now, by this point at New Year's Day, everyone will be asleep, I'm sure. But you need to stay awake for this one, because this is going to be a good game, this. Arsenal versus Manchester United. Arsenal 31-20, the draw 13-5, Manchester United 8-5. So barely anything between them as far as the prices are concerned. Arsenal just shading favouritism. Loads of enhanced odds on the William Hill website and on the app, and you can build your odds bet as well. Both teams to score in the match. Yes is 8-15. No is available at 11-8. I can see both teams scoring in the game. Signs that things might improve under Mikel Arteta, but if there's one team that contributes to its own downfall more than any other in the Premier League, it is the Gunners. And if it's not Bernd Leno making a howler, you know David Luiz is going to get involved. Mustafi can't keep his position. He's unaware all the time. And he's got a lot of things to sort out, Arteta, but I think he is the man to sort those things out.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
I'm not against him at all.
I think he'll do well with Arsenal. I think he'll focus on tightening them up defensively. And in that game against Chelsea, I know eventually they were beaten 2-1, but they dominated large parts of that match. And it is the Arsenal way. And you, Jonathan Liu wrote a good piece for The Guardian saying that you're most fearful for Arsenal when they're attacking. And it's true because things break down and then they're just like, tactically, they've become so inept that they never know how to get back into a defensive formation once they and they all go it's no but they all go gallivanting off, don't they?
Their game management's pretty poor.
Yes, yeah,
because if you see some of the sides that are where Arsenal want to be, they get 1-0 up against a team like Chelsea with what 20 minutes to go, 15 minutes to go.
Yeah,
and you see them waste a bit of time, maybe, you know, take a bit of a hit every now and again, have a lie down. With Arsenal, you don't see that. You sense that they're like, right, let's go again, let's do it again.
There's very much a cavalier attitude with Arsenal, isn't there?
There is a little bit, which is why I think Arteta came in and said, I want to get Arsenal back to playing great football and doing this. No, sort that defence out. You know,
he's not got the personnel at the moment, has he? Because those players, they're not good enough. It's not like under the latter stages of Wenger's tenure and under Unai Emery, they've been fantastic players, but they've just been mismanaged. These players aren't good enough, they've got.
Well, Callum Chambers came off injured against Chelsea. He is playing centre-half for them, or has been playing centre-half for them at the minute. Last season, he was playing central midfield for a side that got relegated.
Yeah.
When he was on loan at Fulham. A couple of years back, he was on loan at Middlesbrough and didn't really pull up any trees there either. Now, that's just one player, and I don't mind him, but he shouldn't be in a side that is hunting for Champions League football.
No.
You put David Luiz next to him, who I still can't understand why they signed him. That's not what they needed. They needed a strong, commanding centre-half, not someone who is prone to mistakes as he is. I fear for Arsenal until they spend well. They have spent.
Yeah.
But they've wasted money. Pepe is not looking like a £70 million signing at the minute, is he?
No. He's looking very much like an Arsenal player, isn't he? Nicola Pepe at the moment. What do we make to this game then? Because Manchester United have had a wonderful Christmas period with that win against your lot.
Yes.
And they backed that up with another strong performance against Burnley, where they won 2-0. Marcus Rashford's been highly influential this season, 12 goals in 20 games, assisting plenty as well. So things are looking decent for Manchester United. I'm still surprised they didn't have a pop at Pochettino, but they're sticking with Solskjaer. And I just thought this was priced just bang on for me.
I don't think Man United have been especially impressive over Christmas.
All right, okay.
Newcastle gave them 3 goals, probably.
Yeah.
From goalkeeper mistakes, defensive mistakes, whatever you want to call it. Charlie Taylor made the mistake for Manu's first goal against Burnley.
Yeah.
The second goal was just on the break. You can almost discount that one. I don't know. I think it's very easy to go, oh, we've won 2 in a row. You've won 2 in a row against sides that have given you goals. They've looked okay, and I don't want to dampen Manu here too much because I think I'll end up probably selecting them in the game. But I'm wary. Because they've done this at times this season, and you think, right, good to go.
Yeah.
And then away from home in particular, they're then throwing an absolute
That's so
stinker.
True, yeah.
Their away defeats this season have been to nil, basically, as a rule, and they've been horrible. Watford away, Bournemouth away, Newcastle away. There's three that spring to mind immediately. All losses to nil, where they've barely lifted a leg. I think they will lift a leg at the Emirates, because they have to. It's not a game that you can underestimate still. No matter how poor Arsenal have been, and at home, they have been poor recently. So it does make it difficult. But Rashford and Martial are two players that we touch on quite a lot on this. Mm. And I never get them right. If I pick one, the other one scores and vice versa. So I just think their pace on the break, I'll put them both up. I think they'll both cause problems. Whether they score or not isn't the matter, but I think I could see them causing problems here. But it'll be interesting, and it is priced up very enticingly, whichever way you're going to go.
What's the bet here, the main selection? I fancy goals in the game. I think it's going to be so entertaining. I'd go with over 3.5 goals in this match because I think it's priced bang on as far as the 90 minutes is concerned.
I want to talk about Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. He scored 3 in the last 3 against Man United in all competitions.
Yep.
So he's got to be worth a look, but I do think Manchester United will win this game. You'll get fancy prices about Aubameyang scoring in a Man United win. I'm not going to put that up as the main selection. I think Man U will go there and win. Arsenal haven't won in 7 home games. It's a remarkable statistic for a side of their quality. Will it change here? It could, but I'm afraid I have to side with Manchester United.
Manchester United to pick for Alex. I'm going with over 3.5 in at the match. Now it's time to kick off the new year in style. It's time for Derek's bit.
Arsenal fans treated the appointment of Mikel Arteta like the second coming, and that's ironic, because in matches under him, second is where they'll keep coming. Arteta's entire CV rests on him sitting next to Pep Guardiola for a few years. Of the two, I'd prefer Pep's hairstyle. Arteta's makes him look like a burnt match. After his home debut in charge, against Chelsea on Sunday, the Spaniard said, "It was very special and I felt excitement at the start, but when the kickoff goes, I just transfer myself." What he should do instead is transfer half his squad. Dani Ceballos, fit again, must be wondering how he can't get into this Arsenal team. Heck, I'm wondering how I can't get into this Arsenal team. Gunners have played 20 Premier League matches this season, and have a guess how many they've won? I'll tell you, 5. 5 wins out of 20. The kind of strike rate matched only by my naps. These are some of the teams above them in the league table: Newcastle, Crystal Palace, Everton. I won't name the teams below them because, out of embarrassment, those teams have asked me not to. Arteta knows his first task is to identify Arsenal's chief weakness, but I've already identified it. Football. Man United are 8-5 to win at the Emirates on New Year's Day. I'd strongly argue that you should back them, and if they don't win, I'd argue just as strongly that I never said it. West Ham have sacked Manuel Pellegrini, and I had no idea they were a firing club. I thought they were a misfiring club. They've reappointed David Moyes, an admission that they were even more wrong to sack him than they were to appoint him. Moyes has his critics, but in my view, not enough. Have you ever seen two people talking and one of them looks bored out of his skull? Chances are the other one is David Moyes. He's not the brightest ticket either. When he was about to take charge of Real Sociedad in Spain, I asked him how he felt about moving to Basque country. He said it didn't matter a jot to him what they wore there. West Ham players need inspiring. The only thing Moyes will inspire them to do is leave. Hammers are odds on to beat Bournemouth, and I tell you one thing, you have to back Bournemouth. The cherries are almost 3-1, and I fancy that so much, I might even have 2 bites at them. My first New Year's resolution is not to bet anymore. My second is not to bet any less. So what a delight to see Brighton available at almost 3-1 to beat Chelsea at home on New Year's Day. These are some of the teams Chelsea have lost to in the last 6 weeks. West Ham, yes, West Ham. Everton, Bournemouth and Southampton. They'll lose against Brighton too. In fact, Brighton too could well be the first half of the scoreline.
Derek going with Brighton then as his best bet in this set of fixtures. More on that to follow. We've got Liverpool versus Sheffield United final game this round. And Liverpool at Anfield, they've won their last 16 in the Premier League, which is astonishing, really. They're unbeaten in 34 in the top flight as well. They've won 29 of those, drawn 5. It's just an incredible run they're on. Liverpool are 2-9 to win this game. They draw 5-1 Sheffield United in the betting at 12-1. If you fancy Liverpool to win and both teams to score, that's available at 7-4, which might attract a few. Sheffield United, by the way, in that market, 18-1. The draw, 13-2. You've got Salah, 3-1, favourite to score first. Mane, who's been more impressive than Mo Salah this season, 100-30 for him to get the first goal of the game. It's all depending on team news, obviously. Lots of rotation at this time of year, but it doesn't matter who plays for Liverpool. They've just been, well, they just keep getting results, even against Wolves. 1-0 win there, they weren't at their best.
No, and I mean, we've not mentioned VAR yet, have we?
It's just, it's too draining to even talk about it, really.
It just, you just think, oh, I mean, that Wolves goal is perfectly
it's just taking all the joy out of the game.
Just
it
as
really is.
Pookie's goal should have counted, yeah. Really. And
there's some teams that have been more affected by VAR than others. Sheffield United are one of the teams, I think they've had 5 goals chalked off to VAR, and it's been positive for Liverpool. And people say this will even itself out, but not over the course of a season.
Well, the thing is that by the letter of the law, the decisions are right. But having seen that Wolves one back quite a few times, I'm still not convinced it is. There's a few that you go, oh, okay, you know, like, it's just I still don't agree with it. Like, Wilfried Zaha's upper shoulder is slightly... Those are ones that I just can't understand. But, hey,
it's the time it's the time it takes. Yeah, that is football now. It's the sad thing. I think it will be looked at next season, perhaps, anyway.
They'll do something.
Yeah.
But it's just upsetting when you've got a good... That Liverpool-Wolves game was a decent spectacle.
Yeah, yeah.
And it didn't ruin it, unless you're a Wolves fan, in which case it did, because they played fairly well and...
They played very well.
Yeah, but anyway, hey, it's football, Dave.
Let's focus on Sheffield United, because they've been incredible this season. I mean, that loss against Manchester City was their first away defeat since January. Mm. So they'll be going to Anfield with some optimism. I wouldn't want to bat Liverpool at 2-9 to win this game.
No, they're a bit short, but then Liverpool just beat everybody, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
There's only Manchester United that Liverpool have failed to beat in the Premier League so far this season, and we're now at their halfway stage. It's quite a difficult betting heat, really, because could you see Sheffield United going there and winning? I probably want a bigger price, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think it's an impossibility. I think the draw is a possible outcome here. I can see the draw at 5-1 attracting a few people, because Sheffield United have drawn so many games this season. What they do so well is he's just a phenomenal tactician, Chris Wilder, and they create overloads at every opportunity, and that's what served them so well in the Premier League so far this season. They play some outstanding football, Sheffield United. I think they can cause Liverpool a few issues. Liverpool have been... I don't want to take anything away from their achievements, but they've been lucky in a few games this season, haven't they? They've had their slice.
In a few, they've been lucky. More recently, they've tightened up at the back, which is key, because they weren't keeping clean sheets. They've now kept 2 consecutive home clean sheets. They kept a clean sheet on Boxing Day at Leicester.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're going, well... It's almost like, as the squad gets more tired and the forward players get a little more fatigued, they go, all right, we'll just play this one safe.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's when they're arguably at the most effective. We saw that against Wolves, and I think we'll see a similar story here as well. I think they know that Sheffield United can cause problems. We saw in the first game, Liverpool won 1-0, but it was a fairly lucky goal. It was a goalkeeping error. And I think they'll be wary of not conceding here. So I think they'll play it tight again. So I think Liverpool win 2-0 is a possibility in the game. It's just... With Sheffield United, I love what they do, but they still don't have that talisman up front. Moussa's looked good at times. McGoldrick's looked impressive, but he just can't score. But look, this isn't a... The fact that this game is even being talked about as anything other than a home banker is testament to how good Sheffield United have been this season. Yeah. So we're not taking anything away from them. I do think Liverpool will win this, but at the price they are, like you said, you're not going to have many backers or many backers that are particularly happy at putting them in at that price.
I'm going to take a flyer here. I'm going to go with a draw in the game. I know Liverpool have won the last 16 in the Premier League at Anfield. They're unbeaten this season, unbeaten in 34 games. But I think Sheffield United can nick a point.
I like what Sheffield United are doing, but I just think Liverpool will edge this in the end. But I think edge is the key word. I think they'll play it safe.
Yeah.
They've been winning games to nil quite a lot recently. We saw it against Watford. We saw it against Wolves. We've seen it against Leicester. I think they'll do the same here. So Liverpool to win to nil would be my selection in the game. It's maybe a little bit dull, but what can you do? The other thing to look at is corners. and Sheffield United corners, because Liverpool don't have many.
Yeah.
So maybe take Sheffield United to have the most corners in the game as a bit of a flyer. Liverpool have been out-cornered in recent games by the likes of Brighton, by Wolves, and they've been out-cornered by Everton as well in recent games at Anfield. It could well happen again, so a bit of value could be the way to go. But Liverpool win to nil would be the main pick.
I like that. Liverpool to win to nil, and have a look at the corners markets as well ahead of that one. Now, we're going to finish off this show with a look at the Football League and get the best bets from Pete, from Gav and from Al.
My championship naff this time around is going to be Millwall minus a goal at 9-5. Their opponents, Luton, have conceded at least two goals in every single away game, barring three matches this season. And they're taking on a Millwall side who dispatched Brentford on their game on Sunday and have looked very, very solid at home. This is one of those that you don't question too much. Luton concede an absolute ton on the road, and Millwall always good to back at home. Millwall minus a goal, 9-5, the naff this time around.
My naff is Oxford United at 17-10 to win away at Doncaster. Oxford looking for their fourth straight win, and if results go their way, could be moving within 1 point of league leaders Wycombe Wanderers. Doncaster, on the other hand, just one win in seven, lost at home to Sunderland last time out, and are only 7 points above the relegation zone. Leading goal scorer for Oxford, James Henry, has got four goals in four games against Doncaster. Look at him to score any time. But Oxford, my naff at 17-10.
Death, taxes, Stevenage appointing Graham Wesley. The human version of a handbrake back for a fourth time at Broad Hall Way. His early record on each of his last returns was poor, and since his third return was announced, two defeats and somehow a draw in a game where they had one shot on target. That is the Wesley way. They shouldn't score at Northampton, a side with five home league wins in six and who dominated a 1-1 draw on Sunday. They conceded a penalty in that, only the second home league goal conceded in those six games. Northampton 5-6, but Wesley loves to keep the score down. Northampton and under 2.5 goals is 5-2.
Time for the naps then, folks. We've just heard from Gav, from Pete and Al. We heard from Derek a little bit earlier as well, which gave me a few heart palpitations because he fancies Brighton as well, and as you can see at the top. I'm going with Brighton to win at 27-10. I need a winner, actually. Been a few weeks without
one. Oh, yeah, you're really struggling. Home to Chelsea.
Yeah, 27-10. Chelsea have obviously wobbled recently. I know they bounced back a little bit against Arsenal, but they weren't impressive in that game. And Brighton keep possession so well. I think that's a tough trip for Chelsea. And I get the feeling Chelsea are fashionable from a betting perspective with Frank Lampard as manager now, when you've got Graham Potter at Brighton. But I'm so impressed with Brighton this season in terms of the way they keep possession and can dominate teams. We saw that against Palace a few weeks
back.
Yeah,
we did. They're sort of in vogue at the minute, aren't they, Brighton? In that, I don't want to say it's the hipster's choice, but it's sort of like, oh yeah, don't they play good football? They do, and they're nice to watch, but they have been all season. They're a fair bet there. I certainly wouldn't put you off here.
Beat Bournemouth 2-0 at home?
Yeah. And they're impressive there, yeah. But also Bournemouth are poor.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to back Chelsea in that game at the price. Yeah. So yeah, I can't put you off that. And for all that, I've sort of lightly taking the mick out of Brighton. I do like them, and they do play good stuff. I've gone with Harry Kane to score any time.
Yep.
It's sort of the bread and butter. When he plays Southampton, he scores. I think in six of the last seven head-to-heads, he's managed to get on the score sheet. I think he'll do so again.
He's good in the festive period, isn't he?
And he's the kind of player that when he gets on a roll, he just keeps scoring.
So
under Mourinho as well, Spurs are scoring plenty and letting in plenty as well. So Southampton have been a bit rejuvenated recently. But I think I'm right in saying, when I looked at the prices for that game, Danny Ings is a shorter price to score any time than Harry Kane. Now, I'm not saying Ings can't score by any means. He's scoring against everybody. But I know who I'd rather have on my side in that battle. So Harry Kane to score any time, he's basically the Premier League's answer to Owen Doyle, isn't he? You could argue. I think Al wanted to go with Owen Doyle, something like that. But due to the time of recording, there was no price for Owen Doyle, and he won't put him up just at price.
He's price sensitive, isn't he, when it comes to Owen Doyle?
But yeah, you could probably look at him to score again. But no, Kane for me, score anytime.
Very good, Alex. Thank you for your company.
Cheers.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and either watched or listened to The Punt. Check out all the betting at williamhill.com and on the app, and we will be back for the FA Cup. That comes up at the end of the week, so we'll see you again then.